basin in the old bayou. Find your favorite fishing pole. Find out where's the next honey hole. Only on the Top Rod Fishing Show.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Kane Radio's Fishing and Hunting Show. I'm Tony Landry, along with Ricky Watkins. And welcome to Kane Radio, FM Band 107.5 and AM 1240. And as always, the purpose of this show is to keep our listeners updated with the fishing and the hunting in the area, along with Louisiana and stories around the USA and the world. And, you know, Rick, we wouldn't be here if it wasn't for these fine people.
You're right, Tony. Good morning to everyone. Thanks to Alamo Hydraulics, Watkins Floor Covering, Doyle's Heating and Cooling, Coca-Cola, Shutter Tie Apartments, and the Quarter Tavern.
And you can give us a call. The number's 367-1240. That's 367-1240. You can also listen to Kane Radio online at www.kane1240.com, anywhere in the world. And you can now listen to Kane on the FM band. That's right. I said a little bit earlier, 107.5. And if you have Alexa, just say, Alexa, play Kane Radio, play Kane 1240. And you can also listen to Kane on any accessible internet device. We're live here at the studios at 107 West Main Street here in downtown New Iberia next to Victor's Cafeteria, which is open. And, Rick, right off the top, how about freshwater, saltwater fishing? What you hearing?
Tony, right up I-49, the bend is doing good. With the cold weather, I talked to a buddy of mine. He's got a camp up there. He's been fishing anywhere from 30 to 40 foot of water. What these fish are doing, they're getting on the creek channels, on the edges, and you take a creature bait like we got right here for the bait of the day, and you throw it and you just watch it go down, you know, let your line go down slow, and you'll just feel the tick. Right now the fish, with the water being cold, they're in that thermocline, in that comfort zone. And coming back down here, I've heard a few reports in the lake, they're catching a few sockeye, Tony, and the basin I see is spiking up a little bit. I've heard a couple of reports out of Sheraton, out of Bayou Benoit, and Miller Chute, they're catching a few fish. But with this water, it's going to start back to rise up. That's probably going to slow down a little bit.
Yeah, I saw that when I pulled it up this morning. I kind of check it a couple times right during the week to see how it's moving the water, because that's so important for the fishermen around here, especially. And I know you're a big believer in the barometric pressure, too.
Yes, sir.
In that regard, and you see a lot of different things taking place and all, and you see the river rising, and it's kind of been good to us the last, 6 months or so?
Oh, yeah.
You know, after the waters come down.
Yeah, this year has been real good, and they do have a few tournaments coming up in the next couple of weekends, and we just have to wait and see with that basin coming up what's going to happen.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember the first one. It's not the Big Bass. Is it the Big Bass tournament, the first one?
Not the Big Bass, but they have a couple of club tournaments coming up.
That you're
runs
right.
Runs out of Fairfax.
That's right. You're right about that. Yeah, absolutely.
Bass Cats. I drew a blank there for a second. Tony.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, the Bass Cats has their open tournament. In fact, I think it's this Sunday.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yes,
all
sir.
Right. And with that, Rick, last week, we're changing up our times a little bit, but I forgot about the bait of the day.
Well,
what we got this morning,
well,
Rick?
It's a creature bait, Tony, and like I said, if you look at the bait, you're sitting over there, but you can tell that bait is green. And I don't know what it is, Tony, I keep talking about that, but bass are partial on the color chart to green. I don't know why, that's just how it is, but usually your greens are like a motor oil color, which is a color of a green. A chartreuse is a, you know, on a chart, it spins off a green. But this bait right here, like I said, my friend, he's been fishing it anywhere from 30 to 45 foot of water on the edge of the creeks. Because what's happening, Tony, the fish, they're fixing to feed up, and they're going to start coming in the stage. Because this weather, the temperature is going to start picking up, and we're probably going to have an early spring. And these fish know this before, you know, with the thermocline and everything. So they're staging up, and they'll get ready to move up into the creek channels, and they'll start looking to spawn. You know, naturally, your sockeye are going to move up first. You know, sockeye, crappie, specks, whatever you want to call them. But anyway, so it's almost that time of year, you know.
Yeah, and we have two different shades of the crappie or the sockeye in that regard.
Yeah, you got the black and the white. Yep. Oh, yeah.
So in that regard, so we'll see what takes place in all. Anyway, meanwhile, the best I see a few articles, you know, with all the crazy weather we had last week the Louisiana Department of Wildlife and Fisheries are telling people if you're encountered injured or off in wildlife, the best practice just to leave it alone.
Yeah.
You know, and a lot of people, oh, poor little thing, let me help.
Oh, no.
Look, a lot of times the adults of that particular infant or whatever is they're out foraging, and the best to leave them alone, because a lot of times the parents leave them hidden and all, especially deer, so they can go out and forage, and they're better off left alone, because most fawns that I've heard about, that they don't have a smell. You know, so a predator can't get to them and all. So, you know, with injured wildlife, just leave it alone. If they're by themselves, leave it alone. And parents out, especially with fawns and all, they're virtually, as the article says, they're virtually scentless. So, but if you do, most likely to see a fawn in Louisiana from March to September, that's when they're out, you've encountered one. Best thing is just to note the location of the animal and leave the area immediately. Notify the Louisiana Department of Wildlife and Fisheries biologists and let them know. And, you know, in individuals who have encountered often an injured wildlife species should likewise leave them alone and contact the biologists. So just that's what I tell you. Or in an injured animal, you contact the biologist. An animal by itself, just leave that animal alone. So that's the big thing.
I know a lot of times, Tony, not that they're injured or anything, but a lot of alligators in the lake. And when you're fishing, it's usually right after the springtime, the little gators, they make that funny sound. Well, you don't play with them, because guess what? Mama's close by. Oh, look at the cute little alligator. No, trust me, Mama's close by, and you don't mess with that, you know.
Yeah, it's not a hum. It's like a little.
Yeah, it's like a little click. Yeah, yeah. You're right. And I hear them all the time. I said, oh, well, let me ease on down the bank, you know. Because, you know, that nest is, she's not far from the nest. But anyway, that came to mind when you were talking about, you know.
That's right.
The mama's there protecting them. Oh, yeah.
And I've seen where, I can't believe I was trying to discourage him. There was, out in the cove at Lake Force Point, you know, set of cabins.
Yeah, that's right.
The kids were feeding those little bitty gators, man, you know, bread and things like that.
Yeah.
And I'm going, man, this is a big mistake. Because if those kids want to swim in that water, they're inviting trouble, man. Right. I said, y'all need to not do that. Leave them alone. Let them look for their own food, man. Yeah. They're going to be fine.
You know? More than a lot of times, Tony, I've seen wildlife and fisheries have to come out to the camps. And they'll take the gators and move them to the basin, or like you said, because a 4-footer becomes an 8-footer, and an 8-footer do some damage, you know.
Oh yeah.
And all the people that's visiting the parks, they bring their dogs, and they you know, and it's just it can get ugly, you know.
I remember seeing a video the other day, and it was this man. He was seeing his little dog walking along the side of the of a pond. And this gator just jumps out and grabs his little dog and pulls him back in. The guy literally jumped into the water
and
grabbed that gator under the water and released, got him to release that little dog. And the little dog, as soon as he got out of the gator's grip, he hauled it.
He darted.
I've never seen anything like that in my life, man.
When they say lucky dog, Tony, that's a lucky dog.
Yeah, we're not talking about the time you put the mustard on either.
No.
Anyway, with the big chill, Rick, you know, the public is asked to ID fish kills. We were talking about that just moments ago. And I don't know, like you said, you haven't seen anything lately.
I haven't heard or seen any, Tony. You know, the deeper the water, the better, which, you know, if it would have happened, it's probably Spanish Lake, maybe a little bit in some spots in Lake Dautry, but I haven't heard, which is great. I mean, you know, we don't need no fish kills. You know, not that you want it anywhere, but we got a lot of good fisheries around here, and hopefully we won't have any, you know.
And, you know, when you think about it, the lakes, the Force Point and Dautry aren't that deep.
No, they're not, Tony.
You know, so
you got deep spots, but on average, if I had to guess, well, with the tidal up and down, the lake is maybe 6 or 8 feet, Tony, and I'm talking about average. Now, you have other spots, you know, that's deeper, but on the average. Now, the bar pits, they're deep because those were, you know, dugout.
But yeah.
As far as for the lake-wise, it's not that deep.
And, you know, usually the fish kills are hurting the smaller species, which are the even bluegill and shad and some other
shad,
you know, things like that.
Yep.
But, you know, we had I'm trying to recall last week. I want to say we didn't go above freezing for a good 2 days, maybe.
That's about right, Tony.
You know, it got down to in the teens, mid-teens, some areas, maybe in 14.
I'm glad we're through with that.
You're right about that. And there were a lot of people that basically went without electricity. I'm not sure about the water. I know we had some water issues in certain areas.
Yeah, we had a boil advisory for two days, Tony. And the poor people in Texas, man, it's just.
Oh, yeah. My niece living in Houston, they had issues with water and all.
One lady said her daughter inside the house, Tony, was 38 degrees.
Wow.
I mean, that's cold, Bubba.
Wow, yeah. Thank goodness I lost my electricity for a little while. And
I did, too, for about 8 hours, but it came back on.
Mine was good 36,
really?
And thank goodness for a gas a fireplace and stove.
Yeah, you're right. But you know, Tony, I'm going to give him a little shout-out. We're lucky around here. Clico gets on the ball.
Yeah, they did. They had people out early that morning when I left the house to do the fishing and hunting show last week. And I noticed Clico back up in that area.
They stayed on the ball. Yes, sir.
Anyway, you know, they say water temperature is below 40 degrees for more than a day, which we had. There are also problems with specs, but I think the water in the bay and the Gulf didn't anywhere get under 40 degrees.
Right. Well, with the winds too, Tony, those fish know, okay, we got a northerner coming in, so they're going to move out with the tide or the wind, so to speak. You see what I'm trying to say? So those fish will move, and they won't get trapped in that bad water, hopefully. But I haven't heard of any fish kills, and hopefully we won't.
Yeah, you're right about that. So that's one good thing that's helping us out in this area. So good for them. Also, recreational gray triggerfish season opens March 1st, which is this coming Monday. So the fisheries like to remind anglers that the recreational season for the harvest of gray triggerfish in the season.
So is that a good eating fish?
I like it. I've had it, and it's not a bad eating fish at all, along with...
Is it a white meat?
Yeah,
or
I'd say it's more of a white meat, you know, and not like a tuna that's kind of the pink, you know.
Right. Yeah.
But it's a good eating fish along with a snapper, you know. I like good eating fish, man.
It's in the prep work, too, you know, the way you cook it sauteed or fried.
A mangrove snapper, Rick, grilled, you can't beat it.
Can't go wrong.
A mangrove snapper. Yeah. I've had them, and they're really good. Okay. Grilled.
Yes, sir.
Anyway, so it's the season remained through May 31st, closed for two-month season from June 1st to the 31st, and reopen August 1st. So anglers would keep a one gray triggerfish at a minimum size of 15 inches forklift. Now, you guys are not familiar with that. You need to look it up, you know, with the forklift. And then the annual quota for the recreational harvested gray triggerfish in the Gulf is about 250,000 pounds. So the season may close early if this quota is reached or projected. You know, they got quota, but you don't see them often. I know in the Iberia Rod and Gun Club rodeo, we see occasionally a triggerfish being caught. So last Monday night we had our biweekly coaches show for Catholic High, and I was talking about Coach. You know, there are 180 high schools in the state of Louisiana that have fishing teams, Rick.
Really?
Yeah.
It took off. I know, Tony, back in about, 10, 12 years ago, it was just, you know, but now it's big time, yeah.
Well, the Saturday, I should say, before Valentine's Day a couple of weeks ago, more than 130 high school teams were joined by 14 junior Bassmaster teams for Bass Nation East Winter Qualifying Tournament held in Bayou Signet over in the State Park. That's over near New Orleans in West Wego area.
Yeah.
And the youngsters and their adult captains braved the cold. It was cold that day, you know, and the winds and all.
Yep.
And Zach Henderson and Nick Ward from, of all places, John Curtis Christian School topped the high school division with a solid 5 bass at 17.09 pounds, which was topped by a 4.3-pound largemouth. Their big bass was
4.3. That's a good fish.
That's right. So, and the LaForge Bassmasters also are in second place with 15.1 pounds. In high school fishing or the tournaments, you're allowed two boats. You have to have a captain, meaning an adult, with you.
Yep.
And you can have six people on your team for those each boat, but you can only have two fish at a time.
Two people fishing
per
captain per boat.
That's correct.
Right.
But you can have six on the team. Yep. In other words, four are going to wait on shore if you're not doing a good job. So they can come back in, and like substitution in basketball. You know, take
good.
Two
that's
out, put
thing.
Two in.
Yeah.
And it's caught on really hard. So I was with Coach White in here. He's the AD of the school. I said, hey, how about y'all getting involved with a Catholic High have a bass team, you know, because I think Lorville's got one.
They do. Lorville does.
And St. Martinville, I think, has one.
Yes, sir, they do.
And I'm not sure about New Iberia High.
I don't think Nish does, Tony. And I could be wrong. I don't think Westgate either.
I'm not sure about Jenneret either. But Lorville, I'm pretty sure, has a team. And Lorville's
got a good team. They have some good fishermen over there, Tony.
So if someone out there is an avid boat fisherman, maybe alum of Catholic High, and would like to see him organized, I was telling Coach, and he said, well, you volunteer. I said, well, it can be kind of tough. I don't have a boat right now.
Yeah.
So for me to be a captain. But I don't know. I was just seeding his mind, too.
But
so,
you know, Tony, I'm going to reminisce on the past a little bit. I love to fish, and I got a couple of my old classmates. I know he's in Lafayette. Bucky Croson loves to fish. We would have had a good team back in the day, and I just wish, but, you know, that was, you know, back in those times, we didn't have, not to say a long time ago, but, you know, back in the 80s and 90s, you just didn't, you know, and in the late 90s, it caught on, you know. But I wish we could have had a team back then.
Well, I know Bucky, you know, Bucky signed to play football at UL back in the day and enjoyed the sport and all. His dad was a tremendous athlete.
Oh, yeah.
And Mr. George Croson.
Yep.
And and I could see Bucky putting together and fishing in high school and all because he loves that.
Because we had Dwayne Francis and me and Bucky, we'd been a good team.
It'd been interesting to see how y'all competed.
There's some other guys that we went to school with, you know. Now, Mike O'Brien, he's a little older than me, and now Mike Sinatair. Mike's a good fisherman. So we would have been tough.
Anyway, also, they had 83 of the 130 teams that showed up caught at least one bass. All 288 bass that were weighed and released alive, the organizers touted the average weight of the bass was 4.22 pounds average of all the boats. That's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
And every boat averaged 4.22 pounds, you know. And the Junior Bassmasters Division, a Denton Springs-based outfit of Jackson Rogers and Caden Sellers stole the show with a five bass limit, 11.62 pounds, and a big bass of 3.28. And so it's interesting. I'd like to keep people updating of everything here. So it's Bassmasters for the high school kids and all, Rick, you know, as well as I do.
It's getting to be that time of year, Tony. It won't be long. Old spring will be coming around, and I see a few of the trees starting to bud, and that's usually when you tell the Sockley time is coming around, you know.
It's just about here now, they're catching them, you know.
And it's amazing, like you just said, you know, with all of that cold we had last week and 2 weeks ago. But that's our weather, you know. How they say in Southwest Louisiana, stick around.
Yeah, the weather's going to change.
Yeah,
Well, you know that. I mean, I'm sure you've been on the water and the lakes in the basin with all of a sudden, man, a beautiful day. And all you go, man, look at the clouds. What's going on?
Yeah.
And boom.
Oh, yeah. Tony, the worst one I've ever been in is to tell a little quick short story. It was at Spanish Lake. Me and my oldest son was fishing. He was young then. I had to put him underneath the console. That's how bad it got. And I've seen 4 foot waves in Spanish Lake, believe it or not. Well, like you said, it's beautiful like right now. And that front came in, but I was trying, you know, to catch a few fish and leave before the front. That wouldn't happen. And we got caught, and man, it was rough.
Yeah.
And we had to come out. We was fishing back behind the pump. We had to come all the way across the lake.
That's true. We couldn't get back to the dock.
We're coming into that northwest wind, and it was tough. Yeah. But anyway.
I've always heard Spanish Lake anywhere between 1,400 and 1,700 acres, and that's 300 acres. That's a lot of acres, and I'm not sure what the actual size of that lake is.
It's still good size, Tony. Now, just driving by it on 182, Old Spanish Trail, you can tell, you know, it's decent size, but when you pull down or you get down into the water in a boat, it's a good size lake. It really is.
Yeah, you used to be able to go all the way around and come out on the backside,
but they have.
You got to make a turn around. You can and come back around, but I don't know how secure those levees are. I know they disapprove of people speeding out there on those levees because it's soft.
Yeah,
and but it's that particular formation of the lake. I think it was last drained in the late 50s. Yep. And they put that barrier up, those small levees up. And like you said, the deepest area of the lake is right near the pump. That's right, by the pump. That's probably one of the better areas to fish,
if
you go out there.
Oh, yeah.
Unless you're in the middle of the lake, and they still have duck blinds out there, too, you know. So very interesting. Anyway, we're going to go ahead and take our first break this morning. You're listening to Kane Radio's Fishing and Hunting Show here on FM 107.5 and AM 1240. We'll be right back with more Fishing and Hunting right after this.
Don't you love living in New Iberia? Elmer and Liz Watkins do. They own Watkins Floor Covering and have been doing business in the Queen City for nearly half a century. If you're in the business for new floors, visit the Watkins, and they will certainly give you the red carpet service treatment. Whether carpet or hard flooring, Shaw Floors is one of their best sellers. Watkins Floor Covering, located at 1319 East Main Street, and I can guarantee when you go visit with Elmer and Liz, they'll be listening to Kane Radio blaring in their store. That's Watkins Floor Covering, right here in New Iberia.
We have a new player on the field, and he's ready for kickoff with a delicious ice-cold Coca-Cola and the kick. Ice giving him a little trouble as a few cubes shake loose. He's probably going to pour it here, and he does. The glass is full. Can he go all the way? He did it! Oh, wow! And just listen to that fizz! That might have been the most refreshing thing that I've ever seen. Whew! Coca-Cola. Taste the feeling.
Locally owned and operated, Alamo Hydraulics serves the oil business on the national scene. Specializing in welding, grinding, and hard chrome plating, Alamo also does fabrication work on cylinders, valves, pumps, and motors of all brands. Located at 2712 West Admiral Doyle Drive, you can call Chris Williamson at 303-3799. That's Alamo Hydraulics, a proud sponsor of the Kane Fishing and Hunting Show.
A new Carrier heating and air conditioning system from Dahl's Heating and Cooling can save you money every month. Thanks to the newest line of Carrier energy-efficient technology products, you can lower your utility bill. Don't forget to ask about the cool cash savings through your local Carrier dealer. Turn to the Carrier experts at Dahl's Heating and Cooling. Call Dan, you're my AC man, today at 337-367-2511. That's 337-367-2511, license number 6286.
Quarter Tavern is the premier spot for live music. On Friday, the Gypsy Dawn Experience. Back on Saturday, it's the Cast and Chevy Carrier Sunday afternoon. 19 TVs has you covered for sports, and no bar has more outdoor seating for proper social distancing. Quarter Tavern, 910 East Main, across from McDonald's. The best drink prices in DeBary. New Iberia's happiest hours now Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday from 5 to 8. Most drinks half price at the Quarter Tavern.
The hits of the 60s, 70s, and 80s. Kane 107.5, AM 1240, and streaming at Kane1240.com.
Welcome back to Kane Radio's Fishing and Hunting Show. I'm Tony Landry along with Ricky Watkins. And, Ricky, you know, we're talking about with the weather and all, and I know you're a big believer in the barometric pressure and all, and in survival. They had a nice article I saw in one of the papers where and an old friend of mine, too, I hadn't seen him in years, is esteemed New Iberia sports writer Glenn Quibido.
Okay.
He let out a secret that Bundix Lake was his favorite fishing hole and bemoaned the fact that the 2020 hurricanes, Laura and Delta, killed thousands of fish there. So, you know, Glenn, even we brought up his name last week, or I should say this week, on the Bayou Sports. Brent was talking about looking for an article or picture with the New Iberia native crushing a football with his bare hands, and believe it or not, I looked for it, couldn't find it, and Glenn, Brent called Glenn, and there it was. He sent it in, so we had that of ATI smashing a football with his hands. But anyway, you know, with the latest weather tragedy, last week's Arctic blast, it didn't take more than 40,000 fish stocked in Brundix Lake by wildlife fisheries early this month. So, you know, with that, you know, looking for fish kills and hurricanes, man, remember what Andrew did to the lakes.
Yeah.
Rick, and I know you can can expound upon that.
Yeah, that was bad, Tony. I've seen many of 4 or 6 pound bass, pound, 2.5 pound, 2 pound sockeye, crappie, whatever you want to call them. We call them sockeye down here. But it just hit a lot of the species, big brim. When these storms come through and the water's a certain level, it turns the water over, Tony. And like the bar pit got hit really hard, you know, the shallow part of it. And it's just, hurricanes, they wreak havoc on our fisheries. And Andrew was bad for the lake.
Well, I know it just took them years to recover, too, Rick, because I remember they were putting in finger the little small fish.
And, oh, yeah.
But, you know, even small fish like that, the birds eat them, the alligators eat them.
It takes a while, Tony, for it to revamp. We gave tournaments back then. That's when we started out with Big Bass Classic, and we would donate, you know, the money that we would raise to buy fish. And, you know, at the end, we were buying bigger fish, which made sense. And because, you know, like you said, the small, the fingerlings, the mortality rate is tremendous on those.
Yeah, 90%, I've heard.
Yeah. It's not good, but anyway, it's that seems like the lake's recovered well, and hopefully it'll be good for a while.
Yeah, they say this article, after weekly, quarterly, quality test confirmed the oxygen levels had returned to normal. The Louisiana Department of Wildlife and Fisheries stocked a lot of Florida largemouth bass, some bluegill, and some sunfish, chickapin, and all that. So white crappie. You know, so just a combination of things, what they do. So, and I know that's important to fishermen since, like you said, we've got a couple big tournaments coming up, club tournaments, and also the big tournament out in Marshfield.
I don't think they set the date yet. I might be wrong.
Yeah, somewhere in April, I think, is where they have it.
And they moved it to April?
Yeah, all I'm right. pretty sure, since with everything being crazy and all.
Because I know, Tony, the poor lake's fixing it, not to say take a beating, but it's going to get used and fished a lot. because they have tournaments coming up in the spring, one weekend right after another. So I guess Roy, you know, picked the weekend and just slid the tournament in there, and hopefully they'll do well. You know, a lot of clubs around here, they benefit from it. You know, I know Lydia Cancer Society does, the Boys and Girls Clubs, and then UL's fishing team, too. They get some support from that.
And they do, and it's really they have a lot of boats. I know we remember anywhere from 60 to 100 boats.
They're close to 100,
in the Big Bass tournament, and they give away a lot of prizes, a silent auction. You can write in your name and bidding on products and services, not just fishing but hunting, too. There's all kind of nice things out there and what they do. And, you know, it takes a lot of volunteers to put that on. People don't realize that.
It's just a lot of work, Tony.
You know, and hats off to those guys that get out there and the ladies that do that for people and to raise money for the Cancer Society. What more can I say?
Yep.
Anyway, also, this is interesting, too. We talked about this a few weeks ago. Show me the money. Well, at its February meeting in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, Operation Game Thief handed out, as I mentioned, over $4,200 to those providing tips to lead to convictions of wildlife violators. And you know as well as I do, Rick, you don't like to see these people take advantage and break the rules.
Yeah.
And, you know, that. Anyway, it's just they had 13 cases they looked at, and from informants and 17 subjects were apprehended. 71 offenses were written in regards to the reviewed cases, and the cases reviewed consisted of deer, migratory game bird, turkey, convicted felons with the possessions of firearms. The programs used the donations for those reporting game violations, and they basically, over the years, have raised almost, I shouldn't say raised, but garnered or paid out almost $500,000.
That's a good
You can tell that since 1984. And to report wildlife and our fishery violations, you know, you see something going on. I don't know. My instinct would be to tell somebody, hey, man, that's what you're doing is wrong.
Yeah.
You know, you got 20 bass here and it's just you, and they're all big bass, and that's that's not right, man. You know, so most of the time, if the bass is still alive, hopefully they throw them back. But in most instances, they take them and run, you know, and it just puts a lot of stress on fishing, too. And, Ricky, you know as well as I do with deer hunters and all, hunting from cars and trucks and anyway, and out of season and all, without a license.
Well, it's just not fair either, Tony, to the game, you know. It's especially deer, you know, we were talking about that a while ago. You know, you ride in a vehicle and shoot them at night. I mean, it's just not, I don't know. I don't know what to get out of that. You know?
Yeah, and there's a toll-free line you can call, and also all informants, it's all confidential and can remain anonymous. So it's just something, you know, you see people taking advantage of the wildlife and all, and it's just wrong in that regard.
That's right.
So we'll see how that's going to play out. Anyway, also a reminder, the pandemic has forced the State Wildlife Division biologists and managers to cancel its annual series of presentations for a proposed hunting season. If there's a wildlife division, folks will outline proposed changes in the 21-22 seasons, take public comment, see the outdoor calendar for Zoom application, and note there is a deadline for submitting comments. It's March 4th. State wildlife biologist Tommy Tuma is handling the comments, so you can mail him or you can pull it up his email on the Louisiana Wildlife and Fisheries and submit something to him which you think would be good. And they'd like to hear from you because it's so important that people need to keep these people informed because they make decisions based on the comments they receive.
That's right.
And if you don't, I hate it. It's just like voting, man. You have no reason to complain if you don't go vote.
Yep.
So same thing with wildlife fisheries. You need to voice your opinion, what you feel is
I know every year, Tony, on hunting, they send Bo, my oldest son, a survey sheet, and Bo fills it out and sends it back. You know, the area you hunt, estimated, you know, what you shoot and you know, and whatnot. And that's how, like you said, that's how they make a lot of these decisions, you know.
Yeah, you're right. And it's so important, folks, to voice your opinion, especially if you're a duck and deer hunter and fisherman. You need to get out there and just take, it just takes a moment, you know, to do that.
Oh, yeah.
You know, what, 2 minutes maybe?
It don't take that long.
That's right. Anyway, the tides for this weekend, Friday, today, the 26th of February. The sun rose at 6:35. It's going to set at 6:06. Elsewhere in the high and low tide chart, the first high tide was 12:51 this morning. The next high tide will be at 4:42 this afternoon. The first low tide will be at 8:51, about an hour from now. The next low tide, 8:42. Saturday, the 27th, the sun's going to rise at Southwest Pass, Vermilion Bay, at 6:34. It's going to set at 6:07 in the high and low tide chart. The first high tide Saturday morning will be at 2 o'clock in the morning. The next high tide at 5 p.m. that Saturday evening, or afternoon. The first low tide will be at 9:32 in the morning. Next low tide Saturday will be at 9:26 p.m. On Sunday, the 28th, the sun's going to rise at 6:33, set at 6:07. High and low tide chart, the first high tide will be at 3:12 in the morning. That's Sunday morning, Saturday night. Next high tide, 5:16 p.m. Saturday, Sunday evening. The first low tide will be at 10:15 a.m. Sunday morning. Next low tide at 10:15, 12 hours apart. Average water temperature in Southwest Pass Vermilion Bay is a chilly 59 degrees. 59. And what can you say, Rick? What else is shaking in that regard?
Well, this weekend I'm going to be working, trying to finish up my little project. And hopefully after that I can maybe do some fishing next week or next weekend.
Yeah, it'd be about that time.
Take a cabin little break.
Cabin fever taking over, huh?
That's right.
Anyway, Kane Radio, as always. Rick, I forgot. What's our motto, man?
Kids that hunt and fish don't steal and deal.
That's right, man. Yeah. And remember, Kane Radio has a mass live here every Sunday on Kane Radio FM 107.5 AM 1240 from 7:30 AM to the end of the services. Also tonight, Kane Radio will have Nish taking on Parkway with the airtime at 5:50, tip-off around 6 p.m., then hopefully we hope to bring this to you. We'll find out sometime later on this morning about the Panthers traveling up to Hammond to play St. Thomas Aquinas. If we do come on, it'll be at 1:40 p.m. or approximately 1:45 with the tip-off around 2 p.m. Stay tuned to Bayou Sports with Coach Bryn Endes right after this on Kane Radio's Fishing and Hunting Show. We'll see you next week. Have a safe weekend, and we'll be here next Friday.